Hello, everybody. I'm George Mylan. Thank you for coming back to my channel. Talking about the local elections in South Britain, results filtered through on Friday. And the big takeaway is obviously the triumph of Reform United Kingdom, Reform, which certainly founded that under that name a few years ago, which up until now only had about 50 councillors, and now it's got 1,453. So that's an enormous gain. So they stood almost everywhere. Surprisingly, Labour had the widest spread of candidates. 97% of council seats were contested by Labour. They are down to 1,068 seats. They lost 1,496 councillors. So they lost 60% of their councillors. That is disastrous. But one thing is, it's not quite as disastrous as many forecast. I was thinking they'd lose 1,900. They've lost about 1,500. So the people trying to spin this is merely a heavy defeat, not a cataclysm. Now, the Liberals, Democrats have done fairly well. They've gone up 155 seats to 844. The Conservatives pushed down to 801 councillors, having lost 563. Okay, so the Conservatives and that analysis have come fourth. And what are their biggest takeaways? If you look at vote share, the two parties, the two major parties, Labour and Conservative, with the most MPs, haven't come in the top two. Reform's got the highest share of the vote, followed by the Greens at 18%. And then Conservatives, then Labour down on 17%. Liberal Democrats, not particularly high vote share. So the Greens, although they've gone up hugely, they've gone up by 441 councillors to 587. And they've got the second highest vote share because these things are not proportions, first past the post. Independents, even they've gained up to 212. These are often residents' associations, often older people who've lived in a town for decades. Say, so we're not a political party, we don't care about national politics, we care about our town. Better public services, better value for money and council tax, maybe getting it down, often opposing planning permission. So you get these residents' associations. So people who are not even a member of those who are genuinely independent. So there's no question it's grim, it's misery. And Labour have lost almost everywhere. Labour have lost a lot of boroughs in London, particularly North London. They've held on to some boroughs. They were very strong in Lambeth. They still hold Lambeth by far less. In Richmond on Thames, the Liberal Democrats have now got every single councillor. Previously, a handful of Labour and Greens. And where they're already strong, like Kingston upon Thames, Coleshalton, they've got even stronger. Aspire, that Islamist party in East London, they've strengthened their hold. Conservatives made some minor gains in London. Well, crumbs for comfort for the Labour Party that in London they didn't go down as much as elsewhere. Yeah, so we know they're often youngish graduates of middle class people. They're largely lost the working class. Liberal Democrats, obviously, better with more educated people, often more affluent people. The Liberal Democrats have broken through in southern England outside London. For example, they won West Surrey, which is previously considered a stronghold. So that's it. And then, sort of economically left behind working class towns, that's where Reform United Kingdom has done well. The Greens have done very well with the Muslim vote because they're very strong on the Palestine issue, Islamic solidarity, and so forth. So this would project it onto a general election. What would happen? Reform UK would have a majority. Sorry, would have a plurality of seats, not a majority. And that's it. So what on earth is going to happen? Pressure is obviously mounting on Sir Keir Starmer to offer his resignation, which is refusing to do so. So he's going to go on until the next Westminster general election, which could be as late as August 2029. But nobody in his right mind thinks that's going to happen. Catherine West. Now, I'm a political obsessive. I'd never heard of her. An Australian MP in the United Kingdom. She says, if nobody challenges him by Monday, I will. Shades of Sir Anthony Mayer, the man who brought down Margaret Thatcher ultimately, an obscure Conservative backwoodsman in 1989, launched a leadership challenge, and to general astonishment, he got 33 votes. But a lot of Conservative MPs abstained. So about 30% of the Conservative Party had not supported her. A year later, she was felled by better-known candidates like Michael Heseltine. Is Angela Rayner going to challenge? Well, the thing is, her tax affairs have still not come out. She still hasn't been absolved by His Majesty's Revenue Customs. Andy Burnham, he would like to challenge, but he's not an MP. So people who want him would like to keep Starmer in office until he can come in. Or where Streeting, is he going to move? He's been plotting very openly. Everybody knew about that last week. I was surprised. I thought Starmer would announce his resignation on the 8th of May. It shows how cowardly and stupid Labour is that they're keeping him on. And it is true, if you change one man, you don't change the whole picture. There are other policy problems. But he is egregiously unpopular. And Reform UK has been using this a lot. And in Scotland, Anna Sarwar, the leader of the Scottish Labour Party, has even said that Starmer is a catastrophe for them and trying to lay the blame on his door, which is obviously only partly true. Sarwar himself is in charge of the Labour Party in Scotland, not Keir Starmer. This is about Holyrood issues, not Westminster issues, but I know people don't completely separate them in their minds. So some people are saying, well, Starmer doesn't have to go really as Prime Minister immediately. He could say, I'm going to step down as leader of the Labour Party and Prime Minister, for example, in October. So the Labour Party, in a state of catatonic shock, doesn't make a foolish decision, take a considered decision, time for Andy Burnham to come into Parliament, if there's a by-election or something like that, step aside Mayor of Manchester, and have a full debate, all the leadership candidates address the Labour conference this September, the mass membership votes, and then a new Prime Minister in October, rather than a panicked succession. So that is a possibility. Clearly, he can't lead the party on. The letter's been signed by over 100 Labour councillors and former councillors and so on, saying that, you know, Sir Keir Starmer must go. Well, so there's not much comfort for the Conservative Party either, down on a measly 17% of the vote. Bear in mind, they're stronger in England than they are in Wales or Scotland. So the Conservative Party have lost councillors a lot. Labour lost 60% of their councillors in this election, those who are contesting it. And the Conservative Party lost 40%. So for the duopoly parties, it's misery. Remember, it's only these two parties been able to form a government since 1922. It's alternating between Labour or Conservative, with obviously occasionally Liberals or Liberal Democrats, junior coalition partners sometimes. So yeah, we obviously do not live in two-party politics anymore. Suppose there's that Chinese proverb, may you live in interesting times. And we certainly do. Wow. Now, will Reform UK, that have done very well, will they carry on dipping from their peak of last summer so that in 2 or 3 years' time, they'll be below Labour, below the Conservatives, something like that? Will a new leader for the Labour Party give them a new lease of life? It's always a bit of a honeymoon. The problems obviously go beyond the actual leader. It's not just the leader, but Starmer will definitely help. I think Andrew Rennie will be even worse for them. Where Streeting would be slightly better. He's a slime ball. He's young, madless, and he's never worked out to the politics. Andy Burnham would be a bit better for this, probably the best of the serious contenders, but he's still not tremendous. The King of the North, yes, he's very well liked in Northern England, not so much the rest of the United Kingdom, but we shall see. Who do you think would be better from Labour's point of view? But anyway, there is a new Prime Minister that ought to be an election, so said Kemi Badenoch, just like the Tories didn't hold a new election every time the Conservatives changed Prime Minister. And it's obviously not constitutionally obliged. But Boris Johnson was utterly hypocritical on this, demanding an election when Gordon Brown became a prime minister. When he took over as PM, said there didn't need to be an election. He called one a few months later, but that's not why. Right, thanks for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate PayPal. George Callan, 792@gmail.com. Goodbye.